And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
Germany's Lutheran and Roman Catholic churches are criticising a regional government's plan to introduce acceptance of sexual diversity to school curricula. The plan, part of a wider overhaul drafted by the left-leaning government in the southwestern state of Baden-Württemberg, is facing resistance in a traditionally conservative region. Regional church branches issued a joint statement on Friday cautioning against any ideologicization and indoctrination, not least in the sensitive area of sexual identity and connected personal and family lifestyles. The State Education Ministry says in its discussions with the churches and other institutions on its curriculum plans and stressed that accepting other ways of life is in no way questioning the institutions of family and marriage. Education is a matter for state governments in Germany, and the federal government has made no comment. This month, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Lutherans will have two opportunities to publicly show their support for the sanctity of human life. LCMS members are invited to join the 2014 National March for Life, held on Wednesday, January the 22nd on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. The peaceful march will take place on the 41st anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion. Since the Supreme Court's decision in 1973, more than 55 million children have been aborted in the United States. The current estimate for the number of abortions performed every year is 1.2 million, which works out to more than 3,200 every day and one every 26 seconds. Last year, the National March for Life drew an estimated 650,000 people. Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Alexandria will hold the LCMS Divine Service of Worship on the morning of the March for Life. Following worship, participants will proceed as a group to the march. For the first time, the LCMS will also send members to participate in the Walk for Life West Coast, which will be held on Saturday, January the 25th in San Francisco. Walk for Life West Coast started in 2005 and it drew some 50,000 participants this past January. Last year we had more than 400 Lutherans marching together to the steps of the US Supreme Court to bring public awareness to the plague of abortion, said Maggie Carner, LCMS Director of Life and Health Ministries. This year we want to top those numbers. A new law in Nigeria, signed by the President without announcement, has made it illegal for gay people to even hold a meeting. The Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act also criminalises homosexual clubs, associations and organisations with penalties of up to 14 years in jail. The Act has drawn international condemnation from countries such as the United States and Britain. Some Nigerian gays have already fled the country because of intolerance of their sexual persuasion, and more are considering leaving if the new law is enforced, human rights activist Olumide Makinjola said recently. Nigeria's law is not as draconian as the Ugandan bill passed by Parliament last month, which will punish aggravated homosexual acts with life in prison. It awaits a president's signature. But Nigeria's law reflects a highly religious and conservative society that considers homosexuality a deviation. Nigeria is one of 38 African countries, about 70% of the continent, that have laws persecuting gay people, according to Amnesty International. It was unclear why the law's passage has been shrouded in secrecy. The copy obtained from the House of Representatives in Abuja, the Nigerian capital, showed it was signed by lawmakers and senators unanimously on December the 17th, although no announcement was made. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said on Monday the United States is deeply concerned by a law that dangerously restricts freedom of assembly, association and expression for all Nigerians. The statement from the spokesman from the British High Commission, traditionally not identified by name, said the law infringes upon fundamental rights of expression and association which are guaranteed by the Nigerian Constitution and by international agreements to which Nigeria is a party. The UK opposes any form of discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation. The motivation for the Nigerian law is unclear, given that the country already has one making homosexual sex illegal, and gay people were not demanding to be married in a country where being gay can get a person lynched by a mob. In parts of northern Nigeria, where Islamic Sharia law is enforced, gays and lesbians can legally be stoned to death. Some have suggested that the new law in Nigeria and the proposed one in Uganda are a backlash to Western pressure to decriminalise homosexuality. Several African leaders have warned they would not be dictated to on a subject that is anathema to their culture and religion. Yahya Jammeh, the president of Gambia, has said homosexuals should be decapitated. The few Nigerian gays and human rights activists who tried to give evidence last year during the debate in the House of Assembly were heckled and booed until one broke into tears and the other could not be heard. Nigerians are the least tolerant nation when it comes to gays, with 98% surveyed saying society should not accept homosexuality, according to a study of 39 nations around the world by US Pew Research Center. Under Nigeria's new law, it is now a crime to have a meeting of gays, to operate or go to a gay club, society or organization, or make any public show of affection. Mikhail Kalashnikov, designer of the legendary AK-47 assault rifle, turned to the head of the Russian Orthodox Church in the months before his death to express remorse for those killed by his invention. Kalashnikov, who died in December at the age of 94, in April wrote a lengthy emotional letter to the Russian Orthodox Church patriarch. The Soviet-era legend and Russian national hero visited an intensive care unit with heart problems only months earlier, and he was spending more and more time in hospital at the time he sent his letter to the church. He said, "My spiritual plane is unbearable. I keep having the same unsolved question. If my rifle took away people's lives, then can it be that I am guilty for people's deaths, even if they were enemies?" Kalashnikov asked. The type letter on Kalashnikov's personal writing paper, reproduced by Izvestia, is signed with a waving hand by the man who describes himself as a slave of God, the designer Mikhail Kalashnikov. Kalashnikov, whose funeral was attended by President Putin, came up with the durable and simple rifle design after experiencing the Red Army's dire lack of weapons during World War II. Now the AK-47 is widely manufactured unlicensed around the world and has become a visual hallmark of armed insurgent movements, including those using child soldiers. Kalashnikov wrote that he first went into a church at the age of 91 and was later baptized. He said, "The Lord showed me the way in the afternoon of my life. When at the age of 91 I crossed the threshold of a church, my soul felt as if it had been there before." The Patriarch's press secretary, Alexander Volkov, told Izvestia that the Russian church leader received the letter and wrote a personal reply. "The church has a very definite position. When weapons serve to protect the fatherland, the church supports both its creators and the soldiers who use it," Volkov said. He designed this rifle to defend his country, not so terrorists could use it in Saudi Arabia. The Russian Orthodox Church has sought to consolidate its newfound strength after the Soviet era by building up close ties with state agencies and powerful officials. When Kalashnikov was fated by the Soviet authorities, it would have been unthinkable for him to have declared himself anything else than an atheist. His daughter Yelena told Izvestia, "Of course you can't say he went to services or lived strictly according to the commandments. You have to understand his generation." Reported cases of Christians killed for their faith around the world doubled in 2013 from the year before, with Syria accounting for more than the whole global total in 2012, according to an annual survey. Open Doors, a non-denominational group supporting persecuted Christians worldwide, said this week it had documented 2,123 martyr killings, compared with 1,201 in 2012. There were 1,213 such deaths in Syria alone last year, it said. "This is a very minimal count based on what's been reported in the media and we can confirm," said Franz Veerman, head of research for Open Doors. Estimates by other Christian groups put the annual figure as high as 8,000. The Open Doors report placed North Korea at the top of its list of 50 most dangerous countries for Christians, a position it has held since the annual survey began 12 years ago. Somalia, Syria, Iraq and Afghanistan were the next four in line. The United States-based group reported increasing violence against Christians in Africa and said radical Muslims were the main source of persecution in 36 countries on its list. "Islamic extremism is the worst persecutor of the worldwide church," it said. A Lutheran pastor from Butte, Montana, is making headlines this week after it was revealed that he delivered a one-minute service on Sunday so that he could watch the NFC divisional playoff game between the San Francisco 49ers and Carolina Panthers. "Would you all like to be forgiven for your sins?" Pastor Tim Christensen of Gold Hill Lutheran Church asked the congregation in a YouTube video of the sermon. The people answer, "Yes," and he tells them, "Okay, you are." The pastor attempts to keep things short and humorous, and when talking about communion, he offers, "There is some bread and some wine up here on the table. You feel free to help yourself if you'd like to. Christensen ends the service by revealing his 49ers shirt under his vestments and walking off camera, presumably to watch the game, which the 49ers won 23-10. While the congregation is heard laughing and taking the one-minute-long sermon in good spirits in the video, the story has received some mixed responses from the commentators online. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you, and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.